Our text is a text read from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Preaching at the SEM is always fraught with the danger of twisting and trimming a text into a pastoral ministry framework. It's tempting to read and preach the assigned text in a ministry context and so interpret a given pericope in a way that has never before been done, and for good reason. But there are those happy occasions when the text of the day can rightly be read in no better way than in its application to pastors-to-be, and to those who support them. And such is the case today. On the way to defending his own ministry to that ill-willed and cantankerous bunch of Christians at Corinth, Paul launches into the amazing, breathless, single-sentence soliloquy eulogizing the highs and lows of the pastoral task that we have before us this morning as our text. What a perfect excuse to preach about being a pastor. It's just too good to ignore. In his extraordinary, spirit-inspired prose, Paul tells us, albeit far more beautifully, what any pastor with a month or more of a parish experience can tell you. The office of the pastoral ministry is a complex and varied experience, vigorously blending remarkable and stirring joys with surprising and sometimes stupefying trials and sorrows. Better than any book, seminar, or post-vicarage account from the field, Paul provides an honest look at the realities of life in the ministry. Paul plays no games and pulls no punches. He's excruciatingly clear in making his point. A life of service as God's servant is not easy. Indeed, it's downright difficult. To be a servant of God is to follow a path that encounters afflictions, hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, sleeplessness, and hunger. And such unpleasantries, Paul warns us, are not anomalies or sporadic blips in an otherwise idyllic existence. They are part of the routine ministerial experience. It's what any pastor or any pastor-to-be should fully expect in his own life. Suffering and trial are not exceptional, optional, or elective. They are standard, absolutely unavoidable. And you remember, of course, that Luther said the same. An able minister, Luther declared, is made by that famous trio, oratio, meditatio, and tentatio. The angst of ordeal and suffering is not a maybe, but a must. Perhaps beatings and imprisonments do not lie in your own immediate future, but you can be sure that tentatio, in whatever form it takes, certainly does lie ahead. What we learn from the example of Paul, and for that matter, from the example of Luther, is that a pastor should be concerned not about this or that trial or tribulation, but about his response and his attitude in the ordeal. Ministry is made up of unpleasant and wearisome trials. That's a given. What remains an open question is how each individual servant of God chooses to handle the trials that come. Paul knew what was important. Nothing could be allowed to discredit the ministry and so thwart the work of the gospel. When trials came, his first priority was to honor the ministry and the one who had given him the ministry. He was careful not to give any offense when in the thick of trials and tribulations, and that's a virtue worthy of emulation. But perhaps we're moving too quickly here. Before we take care not to give offense, we first need to watch that we don't take offense. It's too easy to take things personally, to take to heart what needs to be taken with a grain of salt. When things don't go as planned, when people don't respond like the Bible says they should, when your intentions are misunderstood, when your efforts are overlooked, when your value is not recognized, when your worth is not adequately compensated, when your contributions are not appreciated, it is so easy to take offense and to own the offense. that this happens among us is patently obvious. It's a sad and sorry fact today that the office of the holy ministry is seen by not a few as the worst of all possible vocations and not as the highest and happiest of callings. Too many pastors and pastors-to-be are tripped by the trials inherent in ministry and find themselves trapped by their own offended egos. And then those who have succumbed and who have taken offense in turn give offense as they nurture a crass and cynical attitude of suspicion and ingratitude that manifests itself in words that are, more often than not, critical, carping, and complaining. And eventually, of course, these offended and offending servants finally throw up their hands and throw in the towel in an early retirement, or even worse yet, a messy resignation. That indeed gives offense. That indeed damages the gospel. Tentatio is a reality of ministry, and the continued concerns about ministerial burnout and ministry-shunning PKs indicate that we still have much to learn from Paul about living with the trials and challenges that always accompany a life of ministry. Of course, Paul, the honest realist, is able to balance his recognition of the agony of ministry with the incomparable joy of ministry. While trial and sorrow is always a part of the ministry of the word, so too is joy, and yes, even satisfaction. The secret, it seems, is learning how to rightly measure success. Paul knew the meaning of success. Unfortunately, we too often seem to lack the same knowledge. We pay attention to all the wrong stuff, get hung up on all the wrong things. And that's probably the biggest reason for taking and then giving offense. We get frustrated, discouraged, and finally burned out when we don't see the success we expect. Success in the ministry is not measured in numbers. Success is not an increasing membership, growing giving, or rising attendance. Success is not more people going to Bible study or involved in church activities. Success is not people telling you how good your sermon was or how nice your family is. Success is not measured in smiles, attaboys, and warm fuzzies. Success is not gauged by hard statistics on the year-end report. Success is not even measured in the increased spiritual health of your flock. Success has nothing to do with any of those good things. And it needs to be pointed out, neither is success measured in terms of trials and struggles. There are some who have erroneously concluded that the mark of a successful ministry is one that is abounding in affliction and strife. That's simply not what ministerial success is all about. Don't confuse tentatio with the stamp of pastoral success. For Paul, it was very simple and honestly altogether obvious. Success in ministry is simply all about God's grace. The reason Paul had a persistent and unwavering joy pervading all of his ministry in spite of the many and the varied trials he had to endure was because he knew God's grace. How could he not abound in joy when he had a Lord that had suffered all, even hell itself for him, and then returned triumphant over death and the grave to share that eternal victory with him? None of the ups and downs of ministry, which in another place Paul called insignificant and inconsequential, none of those things could compare with the reality that he knew in God's grace. It really didn't matter how things were going in the work of the gospel. Scores of converts or an angry mob flinging stones, it made no difference. For Paul, success was a non-issue. All the success he ever needed had already been accomplished in the ministry of Jesus. What other success could Paul possibly need? So it was easy. Revel in God's grace and let that grace permeate and propel the tasks of ministry. Paul's zest for ministry had one source: Christ's perfect ministry. Paul's joy had nothing to do with the realities of pastoral work and everything to do with the reality of Christ's atoning work. And what Paul learned, he urges you to learn. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. That grace is your success. That grace is your joy. That grace is your encouragement. That grace is your motivation. What people and parishioners do or don't do does not matter. Whether the numbers are going up or going down does not count. Whether people are complimenting you or condemning you makes no difference. The outward realities just aren't significant. Ministerial success is measured only in terms of grace. The stamp of approval on your ministry, a ministry yet even to begin, is yours already. Even before the ordination vows, even before the 25 years of ministry celebration, even before the retirement potluck supper in the church basement, even before any of that, you are already a success right now. Your success, your approval, is in Christ. He stamped you with his approval way back at your baptism, and day after day he reaffirms it in his word and sacrament. You are a success. You are approved now. Revel in that reality, people. Turn that reality loose in your service, and joy will always follow. No vain grace, people. No vain grace. God's grace in Christ works all that you need. God's grace is all the success that you need. God's grace is all the approval that you need. In that grace, forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours right now and always.